This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at action247.com.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Hope everybody's having a good October 21st so far. Certainly helps when you're coming off of a win. Grizzlies certainly gave us all that last night. Ja Morant gave us all last night. 132-121 season opening home win over the Cavaliers. Got a little close there at the end, but Ja Morant was there to close it out. And a guy John Martin and I both said yesterday, we think is going to be an all-star this season. We're putting our money on it. We think he's going to be an all-star. Had 37 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. That was certainly an all-star performance. Welcome to season 3 of Ja Morant. It's called Welcome to the Dark.
Welcome to the Dark.
You like the title of that season? He's chosen
I think it's
it.
A great season. I think it is a fantastic season. Yeah, you remember that show? Are you afraid of the dark?
I wasn't a watcher.
I think the NBA should very much be afraid of the dark.
He did some scary things last night.
I mean, what can Ja not do? We talked about this yesterday. It was one of the first things we mentioned. If you sort of middle the third seasons of Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose, you come at about 23.5, and he blew past that last night. 37?
Yes.
37 points for Ja Morant. The ascension, it is here, ladies and gentlemen. Ja Morant is on the ascent, and it's going to be just like whatever happens with the Grizzlies, right? Like it matters to an extent, but like it's really the ride with Ja. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where it's going to go this season. Hopefully, it ends in a postseason appearance again. But it's really about where it's going long term.
That you're going up,
yeah.
And then the ascension will continue. Where the top of the roller coaster is, we don't know yet.
Yes,
but that's the fun part, is that you know.
And
you're
when
going
you get
up.
There, right? And yeah. Also when you arrive at the top, we don't know when that is either.
Mm-hmm.
But it is going to be one hell of a journey. And Ja Morant put it all on display last night inside FedEx Forum. Grizzlies win, Grizzlies cover. Ja is awesome. We ain't going to talk about anybody else today. All right? We'll save those topics for another day. We will focus exclusively, really, on Ja with a sprinkle of maybe D-Bane.
Oh, there are guys that deserve mentions for sure.
Yeah, we can
besides
sprinkle.
Besides Ja Morant. I know what you're saying. You don't
want to
talk about
it. We ain't talking about it. We ain't going to talk about it. We'll save it, man. It's not that exciting. But Ja Morant is, of course, the tour de force that we hoped he would be. Wills the Grizzlies. Look, he got kind of close, right? One point game with 3 minutes left or so.
Yeah, you missed Dylan Brooks defensively. That was
no
that
doubt
was
about
clear.
That. No doubt about
Cavs
that.
Cavs scoring 121.
Yep. That is so true.
That was clear, but Ja Morant again was there to save the day.
Yep. So we'll get into
that's what superstars do.
We'll get into that, all of that today here on the show. Grizzlies get the win. Grizzlies start the season 1-0, 81 more until 82-0.
Tough stretch.
Brian Scalabrine is going to join us when we come back after this segment at 11:25. We'll talk to him about Ja Morant. He was there at the Garden last night.
Crazy game last night there.
That was like
double OT.
You and I were texting. The NBA is 100% rigged. There's no doubt about that.
That man said it's rigged.
Because I don't know if you were watching the fourth quarter.
If it was rigged, the Grizzlies wouldn't have made the playoffs last season. Golden State would have. Go ahead.
That might be true. New season, though, man. New season.
I got you.
The Boston Celtics were down. What was it? What was the stat you sent me? It was like they scored 10 points in 36 seconds or something ungodly like
something,
that.
Something crazy like
well,
that.
I was watching.
The game was over.
I was. It was 100% over. But then, you know, Evan Fournier somebody starts throwing the ball over the place. You know, Marcus Smart makes every freaking shot known to man. Jaylen Brown had, what, 46 last night?
Yes.
He had a 40-footer.
Eight of 14 for three from three for Jaylen Brown. He was going off.
And then they you know, they're down whatever 8-10 and with like a minute left, and they end up sending the game to overtime after Evan Fournier inexplicably blows his assignment at the end of the game.
10 points in less than 27 seconds to force overtime.
What are we talking about?
It was pretty unheard of.
I was watching it. Because again, I don't know if you guys were listening at the end of the show yesterday. I gave you a little sprinkler. I gave you a little sprinkly action.
That thing hit, didn't it?
Yeah, Patty.
After some sweating.
I said Grizz money line, Timberwolves -6.5, Knicks -1.5.
We said it sounded good
Cha-ching.
As we went off.
And really, the Grizzlies ended up covering, but that could have gone either way, right? That was very precarious. And that thing hit, you know what I'm saying? So maybe Patty's calling his basketball. We shall see.
NBA's tough.
NBA is very tough. But we'll talk to him about the Knicks getting the win. What do you make sort of the Celtics after that one? Jaylen Brown was questionable coming into the game, but he showed up and he showed out, man.
There was some chirping about Tatum not giving Brown the ball enough on a hot night. Look, Tatum's going to take his shots.
Oh, for sure.
He also, and Scalabrine's talked about this, wants to see him be more of a playmaker at times. I think last night was only 4 assists. Now, of course, you're going to need him scoring, but – you know, last night he's 2 of 15 from three. He's still jacking Jason Tatum. We'll ask Scal what he thought.
Yeah, so we'll do that at 11:25. Look forward to catching up with Scal as always.
I love Jason Tatum though. Don't get it twisted. Light skinned LeBron.
Well, what you gonna do with both those dudes? You gonna keep both of them?
I don't know if it works.
Right.
Just like I know now that CJ and Dame don't work. I've known for a while that Zion and Brandon Ingram don't work. I don't think Jaylen Brown and Tatum work.
They're too similar. There's too much repetition with those two. You know what I mean?
Something just hadn't clicked there.
Yeah.
And some of it might be putting the right guys around them, but I just, again, in an East where you've also got the, you know, the Bucks, you should put them at the top, quite frankly, out of respect for what they've done, what they did opening night. And then the Nets, I just don't think that those two alone, I think you might have to go a different direction with the way it's built. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Scal will help us.
Yeah, indeed. We'll see where we can, you know, can we get maybe a Jason Tatum, you know, to the Grizz. Jaylen Brown to the Grizz. Look, well,
Jason Tatum is man.
That's what, you know, look, we got the assets now, right? I mean, that's what we're building for. We're building for one of those two to get disgruntled. I'll take either one.
My Lord.
I'll take either one.
Him and Ja Morant?
Whew. I mean, that's
stop
what,
it.
That's what you're doing, right? I mean, that's what you're trying to build toward.
I don't even know because Jason, I don't know. He needs the ball so dang much.
Whatever you need, take it. Take what you want from me.
It's Ja Morant's world right now.
Yes.
Of course, those two. Give me a break.
You know how I feel about
you
Dylan.
Put them two together, we're going to figure it out.
Dylan and every first round pick we have, right? Bring me back Jason Tatum. 100%. And if it ain't working in Boston, they'll do it. If it ain't working in Boston, they will do it. So
Jason Tatum got Memphis ties.
Yeah, exactly. War Eagles, right?
Yes,
shout out to the War Eagles.
War Eagles to Grizzlies.
And then it's a perfect story.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Speak it into existence. If you really want something in this
every
world,
pick. Every first rounder?
Yes. Why would you not?
For Jason Tatum.
Or Jaylen Brown. Same applies. Either one.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm giving it all
bro,
up.
Bro, Jaylen Brown is awesome.
He had a monster night last night. He is. He did.
Well, maybe we can come up with a trade package for Scout.
I like where we're going.
At 11. More so than the Ben Simmons stuff. You know, I don't want him. He don't work hard. He's a cancer. Don't want him. I want one of the two Celtics disgruntled wings. Give me one of those.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll do that with Scal at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Mr. Keep Real is going to hop on the show, Brevin Knight. He, of course, was on the call last night for Bally Sports. We'll talk to him about what he observed from the new-look Grizzlies.
He observed that block.
Yes, he did.
Unbelievable block at halftime.
So Brevin Knight's going to join us at 1:25. MVP.
I heard the chant last night.
Like a non-ironic MVP chant broke out last night inside FedEx Forum.
We're going to be doing that for a while.
Has a Grizzlies crowd ever chanted MVP?
I'm sure at some point.
For a Grizzlies player?
I think for him, maybe not super loud in there, but at some point, haven't they said it in there? Hadn't there been one game at least?
I don't think so.
You're telling me that was the first time that the crowds cheered MVP for Ja Morant last night? That's the story you're laying out for me. If it is, very significant.
Well, I'm just saying,
there hasn't been a soft MVP chant for him in there before.
Who would it be?
Who?
Yeah.
I'll just say for Ja. I'm saying yeah, for, I mean, that this isn't the first time for him.
I don't know. I don't think there's been an MVP.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Did Grizzlies fans ever chant MVP for Powell? I hope not.
What about Mark?
Oh.
He never got an MVP chant Defensive Player of the Year. He never got an MVP chant.
Could it be?
Okay. I believe,
I don't think Z-Bo would have gotten an MVP chant. I don't think so. Maybe.
What I'm saying, the point is that this is the first of many for Ja. We will be doing this for years.
I mean, and maybe someday it like happens, right? Maybe someday it actually materializes because the league is going younger and your
nice
Steps and LeBron's are phasing out.
It was easier to do that for Derrick Rose. It'd be easier for Ja to do it if he was in the East. It'd be hard to be MVP in the West. You got to be top 4 seed. You got to be top 3 seed, right? I mean, there's no question about that. And how long before the Grizzlies are there?
It's a reminder that, you know.
Because that was the thing about Derrick, right? The team that third year was competitive in the East. It was right there.
Yep.
The Grizzlies aren't ready to be there yet.
Agreed.
But you're right. Could it get there? Sure. But that's, again, much harder to do in a West that's still stacked.
You know, I think it's good perspective today that inside FedEx Forum, there was an MVP chant for Ja Morant, but at the Smoothie King Center, there was not an MVP chant for Zion Williamson.
He was not on the floor.
Because he wasn't in the game. He wasn't playing. And even though, I don't think anybody.
I'm glad you went there. Kendrick Perkins had a tweet this morning on Touch On.
I don't think anybody felt like the Grizzlies lost, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh, the Grizzlies lost the draft because they got number two. I think some of us came in here. I think you and I both were like, oh, my God, they're about to get a generational point guard in Ja Morant, which is exactly what they need. He's a superstar. And I think it was obvious from if you watched him at Murray State, you knew. You just knew. Like, it was never – I never doubted it. I don't think you ever doubted it. I don't think most people really ever doubted his ability to step in right away and be the guy he was at Murray State. And he's done that, and he's exceeded, really, any expectations that I think we could have possibly placed on him at this point. And Zion's not playing, and Zion is just not like, and he's overweight, and he doesn't seem happy. It's just like, you know, that could have happened to if the Grizzlies, like, it would have been so cruel. The Grizzlies win the lottery, draft Zion, and that's what happens. But the Grizzlies actually won the lottery by not winning the lottery, if that makes any sense.
Well, it makes all the sense. We were rooting for the number one pick that night, but many of us, after getting the number two, so I don't want to say many, but some of us even came here the next day. You knew that the Mike Conley era was basically over in Memphis. Some were hanging on.
Exactly.
We knew how much he'd meant to the franchise, but you knew that the era basically in winning big at a high level with him was over, that you had to move on. So you knew you were getting the replacement for him and that it was going to fit from that standpoint. But some of us, even that next day, were saying you might end up with the best deal here because the guy who could potentially have the longer career and in turn the more impactful one was Ja Morant because of what we were saying right after the draft. We were saying before the draft, concerned about Zion's size and how long you going to play 15 to 17 years, right, when 4 to 5 championships, whatever it's going to be, with that body. And look at what's in the 3 years since. I mean, this is season 3 for him. So basically it's 2. Look at him, how much he's been off the floor. Look how much the body is still a concern. You know, this year he breaks the foot, they're talking about he's north of 300 pounds. This is an issue every day for Zion, that body. Whereas with Ja, you're still out here playing ball, going out opening day, you get 37 points. You're there when Jaren's not, getting the team to the playoffs last year. Because of that body, and again, the thing about Ja is because of the way he plays, like, this could, you know, you could tear something at any point, knock on wood. But with that body, you don't have the concerns, the usage you don't, and the career stands a good chance to be longer. I mean, look what we're saying about Zion. To your point, he ain't even there. You know, to open this season, they're projected fewer wins after all of these moves than the Grizzlies this season.
Yep.
You know, what Ja's been is stability and really an upward a climb and an ascension to what we know, you know, is the top of this roller coaster. We'll see how high it goes. But with Zion, sure, there was bang that night when they got the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the progress? You don't have it. So again, the careers are lined up where Ja's looking. Now Kendrick Perkins this morning tweeting that, you know, and we love Kendrick, you know, loves the Grizzlies, loves Ja Morant, love having him on the show. But he said, y'all remember when I told the world in 2019, and he tweeted this morning, and it's easy to do today, that if I were the Pelicans, I would have taken Ja Morant with the number one pick.
Yep.
Remember when people called me crazy? Don't mind me, though, and carry on. I just don't remember.
That's revisionist history.
I don't remember a ton of that.
That's revisionist
history.
A ton
of people saying the Pelicans should have taken Ja at one.
The Grizzlies would have taken Zion at one.
Exactly.
You know,
we were all hoping the Grizzlies were going to get the one pick so we could 100%. Take the one. You couldn't pass up on it is my point.
Yeah, there was a very clear order.
Exactly.
Zion and then Ja.
With what he was and what he represents, I mean, like we said, like physically we'd never seen it. You had to take him.
Yeah.
You were the number. It just may work out better for the team that ended up with the number two pick, the Memphis Grizzlies, than taking Ja Morant.
Exactly.
But if the Grizzlies were one, they would have had to take him because of what he represented. Did you see how the phones lit up for New Orleans that night?
No.
On season tickets and everything
exactly
else?
Right.
You would have had to do that. And I just don't remember folks saying the Pelicans needed to take Ja won over Zion. I don't remember
that.
The
Pelicans would have gotten crushed for that.
Yes.
They would have gotten sometimes.
You had to take him. Like he was like,
you just
like,
can't overthink that.
Like the ninth wonder of the world, people, you know, we were thinking at the time.
Yeah, I mean, look, who could have predicted, right, that his body was going to sort of break down the way it has? I mean, maybe some would have said, you know, because
of his watch out, all of us did. So
but it's just one of those
still
things.
Had to take him is the point.
And by the way, you're absolutely over the moon that you're able to do it at the time. That franchise, it was like overnight celebrity stuff. It was like their franchise has been transformed by Zion Williamson, which, again, none of this is to say the Grizzlies would have done the same exact thing and they would have gotten the pick in before it was even time, right?
It's just going to work out.
But the way it broke down,
I truly believe it is.
Yeah.
That you ended up better off having the two pick and taking Ja Morant.
And I just think the other thing, too, that's so great about it, man, is that Ja is – and I know, you know, we try to fit guys in these boxes, but it really does feel like with Ja, he is such a fit for this city, man. Like, he is just such a reflection of you know, he's from, you know, small town South Carolina. Like, I worried a little bit, I'll be honest. I worried a little bit last year about, like, was he letting the success kind of go to his head a little bit, right?
Wow. At what point?
He was just going, he was very active on social media. Like, you saw him going back and forth a little more.
It's a motivator for him.
But, you know, now you're seeing, like, he, you know, Welcome to the Dark, like, his whole thing now, like, that definitely, you know, he's still hungry. You know, he's still hungry. You don't have to worry. Like, Zion's actually hungry. But Ja is hungry on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sort of the difference for me. Like, and that's why last night, like, that's an all-star caliber worthy performance. He's not going to do that every night.
It's going to be hard to deny him an all-star spot if he's performing anything close to that level this first half of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know the West is tough.
Chris Paul had 15 points last night.
But I even think one of those old guys would step down for this. Like, he is such a force, and it's, you know, it's – you can't deny it. It's so undeniable that Memphis has a star, like one of the faces of the – and the question is just how long y'all going to tread a – you know, you can't go in a year four, year five, saying, oh, now it's time for Ja Morant. Like you did with Mike Conley. Let's be real. Like
for sure.
It just never happened. Ja Morant is forcing you to watch if you were the rest of the league. You know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, Zach Lowe's always got Memphis, what do you have him, top 15 this year on his league pass, you know, rankings. You are forced to watch no matter what else they've got going on. Even if Jaren Jackson's out for a season, that's going to continue. He was fantastic last night. And again, had to be because the Cavs were getting pretty much whatever they wanted at times, especially offense. You see Jared Allen inside, like dudes were 11 for 11 and going crazy in there. They got a nice front line, to be honest with you. You know, Jaren Jackson had an okay game, but
we said we weren't going to talk about that today. I said had
an okay game. You're going to have to name somebody and to get to this, you needed everything from Ja and you needed what you got from Melton and from Bane. Both of those guys were good with 20 points apiece. Well, we just not going to mention any other Grizzlies, but Ja Morant.
We can talk about Desmond Bane.
No one cared
who I was till I put on the mask.
I know what it is. You don't want to come in here and make any sweeping assumptions about what Jaren's season's going to look based on yesterday.
What's the golden rule? If you don't have anything nice to say, then it's best to say nothing at all.
That don't apply to sports radio, man.
But I feel like today's just
that's
not the day.
That's what your mama tells you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Zaire Williams, is he 2 years away from being 2 years away from being 2 years away?
Well, he got some opportunity last night. I mean, that opportunity may not be there once Dylan Brooks is back. Not as much.
Right. Oh, it won't.
He got not as many minutes.
He's just not ready. He's not ready, you know? He's 2 years away from being, like, honestly, he's 2 years away from being.
He is not that dude. That was Caboclo.
I know, but he really is too. He's 1 year away from being 1 year away.
Well, we got to get him on that bench. That's for sure, on that bench press. We're not going to talk about him taking 8 of his 12 from beyond the 3-point line.
I mean, dude,
Never mind.
I mean, it's like
you want to keep it all positive. They're going to win the championship. I want to know win over
day.
The Cavaliers. You go right ahead.
You want to come in here and you want? I mean,
the Ja Morant talk was real,
but y'all don't want to have. Y'all don't like him when we have real talk about Jaren, though. They don't like it.
They
don't like it. They don't like
you. Have to keep it real, whether they like it or not.
My concerns about Jaren Jackson Jr. did not subside after last night. That is why I have concerns. That is a game where Jaren Jackson should have feasted. He did not. He did the same stuff. He did the same stuff he always does. He floated too much around the perimeter. And guess what? 13-6.
He didn't foul as much. Only 2 last night.
Yeah. I mean, but again.
Plus 16.
It's all about what you choose to focus on in your life. You know, do you want to focus on, you know, when you have all these beautiful flowers. You have all these beautiful.
It's going to take him a while to get
comfortable inside. Well, I heard that all last year.
If it ever happens.
Heard that all last.
Now he was aggressive against Gobert. It was a good sign. He can get back. That's a long time.
You're talking about
old stuff. Ain't nobody making excuses for him.
Talking about old stuff. But see,
for me, it was subpar.
You want to focus on that one.
For you, it was awful.
You want to focus on that one little dead flower. I want to focus on the beautiful garden.
It's not a dead flower. Food man got all the money in the world. That man called Jaren a dead flower, basically.
And you know what? Get Pat Williams over there to water it. You know, you put those two together.
Man, stop.
But I'm going to focus on what we've cultivated over here, which is an all-star caliber point guard by year 3. That's what I'm going to focus on. A tour de force who is only getting better, man. Who is only getting better.
I'll tell you this, too. Desmond Bane.
No doubt.
Off the dribble, like getting to the basket.
Yep,
3 assists. Not just knockdown.
He should remain the starter.
Good move playing him summer league point guard, getting him on that ball. You know, guys coming in here confident.
Yep.
Oh, the starter for sure.
Yeah.
Once Dylan's back, why not?
Yes, absolutely.
Put him at that 2.
It's so good.
Like I don't know yet. I feel like the ceiling could be higher. Like we're seeing more and more from him, sort of like we did with Dylan Brooks.
Yep.
Who just came here with the reputation of scorer.
Yep.
You know.
Now Desmond Bane is.
I see Bane and I just every time I see him, I want more. I just want more Bane.
Yep.
You know,
more.
How many minutes did he play last night? 30. Yeah. And again, you know, Dylan Brooks going to come back. Starting lineup will shake up. What's clear is they're playing Kyle Anderson at the 4, because I'm telling you, you're gonna have a lot. You got a lot at that 3 once Dylan's back. Zaire, you got to figure in. You still want to get him minutes, but be interesting to watch how the minutes are split up once Dylan's back. But you had to love what you got from Bane, 22 last night. Melton as well goes 4 of 6 from 3. He's continued to be hot, just taking that from the preseason. He had one bad shooting game in the preseason from 3. Other than that, he's been unbelievable. Sort of like he was regular season last year, tailed off in the playoffs. You love to see it from Melton. Was plus 17, the plus or minus king for the Grizzlies. Good win last night.
It was exactly. It was a great win.
You need to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, for sure.
Even with your historic issues on opening night, you have to take care of the Cavaliers because this is a tough little road stretch they're about to
hit. It is. But they won. They covered. And
you're big on cover now. You always throw that in.
Well, I think that's just like a total performance.
I notice how you throw it in when you've got. You've got a little action. You like to throw that in.
Now, real quick before we get to Scal, TJ tweets and says, floating around the perimeter is Jaren's role in the offense. He's there to be a stretch big. I'm not sure why you're upset with this. Well, let me make it very clear. Because the shots don't go in. That's why. So maybe if they're not going in, we should do something differently. We should do something else, right? Figure out ways we can be effective when the shots aren't going in from the perimeter.
Well, here's what I would say is I think they're expecting part of that to change. Like, that's Jaren's game right now. They've made room for him in dealing Jonas to be more of that guy inside, more of the guy you saw at the end of the playoffs last year when he's going against Gobert. The fact that you're playing him at center at times shows you that. They want more scoring. If you can get that from Jaren, develop that part of the game, it will only open up things for him. All the way around, it makes him a better player. That's his game floating right now. The Grizzlies and everybody else want that to evolve and him to add that inside game where he's comfortable. You could tell last night against some nice length, he was not. But he's got to add that to his game. You don't want him just to stay there as the guy that floats. Yeah, that's his game now. You need it to develop if you're the Grizzlies, if you're going to reach your ceiling.
Yes, agreed.
Especially him individually.
No,
got to get comfortable
no
inside, just as comfortable.
We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine about all this, get his thoughts on Celtics-Knicks. He was there in the building last night. He'll join us like he always does every Thursday when we get back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Markkanen back the other way. Morant blocks his layup at the apex. Anderson to Jackson. Deep three at the horn. Oh, he almost banked it in. What a block by Ja Morant at the apex of Markkanen's shot. And the Grizzlies nearly got a 40-footer at the horn for the reward. Ja Morant doing a little bit of everything here tonight. The block on one end and nearly a highlight reel three for Jackson. First half in the books. And if this is indicative of what these young Grizzlies are going to be, buckle up, Memphis, because here we go.
Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios. Online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports. On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Let's get activated. Let's get activated.
Grizzlies 1-0 on the way to a world championship. Brian Scalabrine is an Odyssey NBA insider, the White Mamba. Insider call is presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. I'm getting plus money right now, Scal, on Ja Morant for 2021-22 NBA MVP. Should I bet the house on it?
No, not yet. But I tell you what, if he's gonna take 29 shots a game, then you might as well. He was coming out firing.
What did you make? I mean, look, we saw it in the playoffs, and I guess the only question was whether it would continue into, you know, his third season. But, you know, Ja is a guy who always performs well in openers. He had 44 in the opener last year. He had 37 last night. But, you know, is this going to be, you think, more of the Ja we see all 82 games? Do you think this is kind of the effort that we're going to get from him this year?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously with Dylan Brooks out, he has to do more. I think with Valanciunas out, he's going to have to do more. Like, Steven Adams is maybe a better fit, but probably a better role player. He's not going to have as big, you know, he's not going to have those 20-17 nights that Valanciunas had. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, Ja's going to have to get him up. But, you know, like, I think the impressive side of it is, like, his ability to play so many different ways. He was attacking. And the one thing I really love about the way he plays, you guys notice when he goes to the cup and he just elevates. And, like, everyone kind of lands and he just kind of continues to drift to the basket. And sometimes can shoot those layups on the way down. There's not a lot of guys in the NBA that do that. Not a lot of guys in the NBA that practice that. But those are things that I'm noticing and saying. It's one of those things where, like, you see a Steph Curry shot or a Michael Jordan fadeaway or Hakeem Olajuwon, the shimmy shake, or whatever, all the signature shots out there. Like, Ja Morant's signature shot is like that, when he just jumps in the air and everyone lands. And the way that he can finish with his left hand and right hand, I feel like he can get that off anytime he wants. But I'm a big believer in this season of the teams that are most relentless at going to the basket are going to have a tremendous amount of success in the regular season. And Ja seems to be that guy so far.
How much is the Grizzlies' success, the one-loss record, going to matter this year on whether or not he's an all-star? And Scott, I know it's tough, and we talked about it yesterday, how tough it is in the West. We just talked, but it almost feels undeniable. You talk about left hand, right hand. Last night at the end of that first half, he's making a block where he goes above the box to block Markkanen, and Markkanen can't even believe he got up there. My point is, like, it's all over everything today. It just feels like this is year three. You know, for Rose, Westbrook, it was sort of all-star level. Is the Grizzlies' success, if they're around a .500 team, is that going to matter And you know, whether or not he's an all-star, is it going to be, do you feel like this is a guy who's going to get there this season?
All right, so I think that people, sometimes there's no-brainers, right? You're picking your all-star teams. I think this is for the media, not necessarily for the fans, right? Because the fans, you're talking about starters, and that's a different level. That's a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. He might get less votes than Russell Westbrook this year, even though he's a much better player than Russell Westbrook. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you're right about that, that Westbrook thing. Yeah, that worries me, you know.
But because it's about the media, right? The media is going to pick the rest of the – It's not about the media. It's about the coaches. Okay, so here's the stuff, and I'll give you some insight. When the coaches – like when we're on an airplane going from one city to the next, and the head coach gets that piece of paper that says, okay, who do we want to put on the deal? And all the other coaches, they all chime in, and the other coaches say things like, I was watching Ja play – Damian Lillard the other night.
Yep.
He was giving him the business. Oh, I was watching Ja play against Luka. He was holding his own. So, like, the how you talk about win-loss record, it will 100% matter for the head coaches, the assistant coaches, everyone that kind of votes for that, right? But also, you'll hear coaches chime in. It's like, oh, he was doing work on this one particular guy. I think he deserves the nod over that. So if there's anybody in Ja's area code, he's going to have to do work on them. And I do think, like, Memphis has to be above 500. I think it will be above 500. But he's going to have to do work on the other all-star level guards in the West, right? Like, put it out of people's mind. There is no D'Angelo Russell in this conversation. There is no, I guess Jamal Murray's out. You just got to make sure that when you're playing against other all-star guards, you are holding your own.
We were talking before we brought you on about, you know, sort of that draft, right? That 2019 NBA draft. And you know, the Grizzlies miraculously jumped up to number two. And, like, nobody was coming away from that like, oh, man, we lost. Like, when the Grizzlies didn't get the number one pick in LeBron draft, like, everybody was dejected and depressed about that. That was not the case with Ja. But isn't it interesting the way that it's sort of broken down? Like, you could make the argument that the Grizzlies – even though they didn't win the lottery, they won the lottery.
Correct. Yeah, I think, and you know what? There's a lot of the experts and guys that, you know, like in the scouting department were much higher on Ja than the rest of, like, a guy like me in the media who watch a few college games here and there. They were pretty convinced that he was different level and they had next level athlete and he had next level poise and all that stuff. And I talked to a few guys, and I was just the general 30,000-foot media who saw what Zion was doing and breaking his shoe and all that stuff. And you're like, man, this guy's unbelievable. You see the touch, the force around the basket. And I'm not saying Zion's not going to do that. He was ridiculous last year. But when you're looking at Zion's availability, what's he going to be like 5 years from now? Is he going to be able to bounce back from this? I guess there's rumors out there that he's over 300 pounds. Yeah, like if you're – and then the game has changed a lot. Like, you know, the game is more driven to being a point guard-driven league, and there was a need for Memphis to have that point guard because, you know, I don't know, at that time Mike Conley might have been on his way out. So, like, we can get rid of him and we can get the new guy and we can kind of create this new way of playing. So when you look at all those things, remember, I don't know if you guys know, like, I'm involved with the Celtics. The Celtics were keeping their eye on Memphis. Memphis wanted their pick certainty. So – at the end of a year where everyone's trying to tank, Memphis is trying to win games because if they would have won a few more games, they could have got, like, their pick would have dropped to a certain point where it would have went to the Celtics. And they were like, okay, we don't want the ninth pick or the eighth pick or the tenth pick. You could have that pick. It was going to be top eight protected. But so they weren't trying to tank to get the number two pick. They were trying to win so they can get rid of their pick so they can have their pick certainty. And then they hit the ultimate lottery by going number two and getting the guy and then building from there, and then the rest is history. So, yeah, I definitely think when you think of all the things that went on with Memphis the previous season, that they definitely hit the lottery.
No doubt. Now, last night on ESPN, great game. Stupid game. Like, one of the drunkest games I've ever seen. We've all seen Space Jam, right? Like, when those little things, like, get inside, you know, Charles Barkley, and he loses his ability to play. That's what happened to the Knicks in the last minute of regulation. What did you, as a basketball player, you had to be watching that and saying, like, what the hell is going on with the execution? For that game to get to overtime, it's actually absurd the sequence of events that it had that had to happen to get it to overtime.
Yeah, so that's a good example of that guy, right? Like, you can't tell me, okay, let's say you retired or the wife wanted a little something, so you're like, I'm going to bed with 4 minutes to go. And I told you that Julius Randle, man, he's got to get better. You would be like, what do you mean? I'm like, did you see the last 4 minutes of that game and how, like, the first 44 minutes of that, Julius Randle is flexing on people. He's getting the Garden crowd. I got Spike Lee. I got, I don't know, Tracy Morgan and that. What was that gold chain he was wearing? You were seeing all of it. But the last 4 minutes, all I can think about is Trae Young coming in there taking his vows, you know, the year before where the Knicks could also not score in the last X amount, or the Knicks found different ways to lose that Atlanta series. And Julius Randle's the man. Like, you would believe that up until the last 4 minutes of the game. But at the end, it's like, you like that guy, and we were just talking about Ja, like, Ja's that guy, but that guy, it's a different level. And Julius Randle, for whatever reason, all the flexing, all the stunting and all that stuff, he wasn't that guy in the last 4 minutes of the game. And the Celtics just kind of came back into that game. But I agree with you. It was very poorly executed. And it's cool. Evan Fournier was in Boston last year.
Yep.
I know Evan Fournier a little bit. He's not afraid. Not afraid.
Nah,
of the
he
moment,
was.
Not afraid
he was unbelievable.
Anything.
Yeah, he was like, he was hitting everything.
Yeah, it's really cool to watch. You know, like, yeah, Julius Randle flexing on people, but Evan Fournier, you know, like, their $17 million guy in the offseason at the Celtics let go, he comes back and he was making all kinds of tough shots. So, you know, it's the first game of the season. I get all that, but for the Knicks, take that next step. You know, like, Randle has to be a guy that you can at least count on to win you a few games, or at least get good shots down the stretch.
I saw a little bit of chirping, and you can you know, hit this directly, and I'll roll because you were watching it head on. But a little bit of chirping that on a night that Brown's going off, right, 8 of 14 from 3, 46 points, that Tatum, and listen, you got shots that got to go around, but Tatum's sitting there 2 of 15 from 3, 7 of 30 overall, and I'm sitting there with only 4 assists, and maybe there's some opportunities where, you know, you get it to Jalen. Did you sense any of that? I mean, you've talked about Tatum needed to do it all, because you see that in him, be more of a playmaker, be that scorer when they need. Did you sense any bad decisions in terms of him and not, you know, getting it even more to Brown?
Yeah, so here's how I look at this, right? I kind of feel like, if it was November 20th and that game was happening, I think Brown would have had the ball in his hands late in the game.
I got you.
It was one of those things where you're like, you know what, Tatum, you know, like, the first game of the season on ESPN, in the Garden, all the stuff going on, and he's like, you know what, like, in November, you know, you could see the superstar saying, you know what, tonight's, like, not my night. Yep. I could do other things out there. It's Steph Curry on opening night having the triple-double. He's like, man, I'm not shooting the ball well at all. Let me do some other things because
that's right.
Steph Curry's so accomplished and everything like that. But first game of the season, ESPN, national television, you know, the Garden, the place is rocking. You could see how a guy like Jason Tatum, who worked all offseason, who's been the man last year, who's looking to take that next top five step, all that stuff, you could see how in his mind he's like, no, I'm taking this shot.
That makes sense.
And I would hope that, we know, it's 82 games. There's all kinds of tough shots at the end of the game. I would hope that if that night in particular was happening to Jaylen Brown in November, then Jason Tatum would be like, go ahead, man. It's your night. You got this. I would hope that that would happen. As of right now, I can't say that that's going to happen. But I've been around enough NBA players, and these guys that play so many games. I think that Jaylen coming into his own, I think Tatum would be maybe more empowering maybe a month from now, maybe even 3 weeks from now, or maybe even after last night, saying, like, you know what, the next time that happens, I'm going to my guy who's really, you know, grown. But first game of the year, you know, I think that's a little bit where I can see, I understand why he did that.
Yeah. Well, if anything ever, you know, goes awry, give us a call.
Yeah, if you get disgruntled with him or anything, Scal, you know,
we got
draft picks.
What you going to give?
You like Dylan Brooks.
What
we
you
know.
Mean? What we going to give? You can have Jaren.
I like Dylan Brooks.
Brunch of first rounders you can have.
You can have, Jaren. You can have Dylan.
Kind of seeing if you're getting disgruntled with old Tatum.
All guys named, not Ja.
Exactly. Everybody's on the table. No question.
Exactly.
You know, for honestly, either one of those guys. It's not going to work long term, so you'll come back. You'll be back.
Yeah, no. That's what you guys do down there.
Yes.
You root for bad. Like, you work for messed up things that happen so you can be in
absolutely
a train
trying to figure out if Tatum and Brown can coexist.
Well, that's what, honestly, that's what, like, the Grizzlies are sort of angling. That's what they've been building for, all this flexibility that they've been creating, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be, it ain't not Ben Simmons. Well, I want no parts of him. But there's gonna be a disgruntled, you know, star that is gonna look at the situation in Memphis with Ja someday and say, you know what, I actually would like to explore that. That's what they're trying to do, it feels like,
because they're never gonna get the big boy free agent, right, Scal? Not to interrupt, but they're never gonna, Memphis is never gonna get that guy, right? They have to do it in a trade situation. They're gonna get that guy and put him beside Ja, don't they?
Or make your players better. There's internal development.
Obviously.
Jaylen Brown, when he got here, like, let me just – I'll give you a little background. When they drafted him, there was a little booing going on in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Boston fans maybe wanted Chris Dunn. Then, you know, a year later, they're talking about maybe trading him. Like, no, it's like there is – he improved a lot. And he improved his shot, his handle. You guys saw his handle last night.
No doubt.
By the way, you guys know he was in COVID protocol for 10 days. He showed up the day before, and that's what he gave us, 46.
That is amazing.
Wow. Amazing.
Oh, my God. You guys, you know,
wow.
If you guys went on vacation, you came back to radio, you'd be a little bit rusty, right? This is radio. Like, we're talking about NBA basketball. That was amazing. And I hope he has, like, I'll tell you, Tatum works too. But Jaylen Brown, man,
I mean, he
is a worker. Yeah, his motor is insane. Like, I'm not going to call him Michael Jordan like that, because Jordan's next level, greatest ever like that. But he has that, like, energy about him like Jordan did. He's super competitive and he works, and like Jordan used to work like that too. And I'm like, I get it, man. They have that, you know how when Jordan used to get downhill and used to like pitch his shoulders forward and he just like yo-yo in and out of defenses. I like how he plays like that, and I like how he's, to me, Jaylen Brown has old school type of game, which, so Boston's not going to get rid of him, but I know what you guys are saying.
We're talking to Brian Scalabrine here. He's going to help us facilitate a trade later in the season. He joins us every single Thursday for that purpose alone, presented by BetQL. We saw the Nets get routed in Game 1 without Kyrie Irving. It was an interesting dichotomy to me, Scal, and I'm sure you've probably thought this before, but the way that Giannis approaches, you know, I mean, it's just a game. It's one game out of 82, right? And that's definitely how Steve Nash looked at it. He's like, look, I'm calling off the dogs with 4 minutes. Like, it's a 12-point game, but we'll live to fight another day. But Giannis, like, and I was talking about this yesterday, like, the way that he approaches every game and actually cares and plays hard, like, I love that for him. I love that he, as the face of the league, actually cares, seemingly, 1 through 82.
Yeah, so I was in Milwaukee. I watched the game, and I interviewed Giannis the day before, and you know, like, it's hard, it's tough to get superstars, and he sat down with us for 16 minutes, and we asked him about his life, and he's like, we asked him about the free throw shooting. He's like, you guys, what I've been through to get to this point, I'm not going to be scared of missing free throws or missing threes or what people think about me. Like, it's so refreshing. His story is amazing. I wish that people can, like, dive into the story of where he came from with his brothers and stuff like that, but the one thing is, you never know with growth, right? If you said Giannis free throw shooting, like, if you had to use a bar graph, what type of step did he take from game 4 in the NBA Finals to game 6 in the NBA Finals, going 17 for 19? And then, is that the new standard? I don't know if you guys watched him shoot in the preseason. The shot looks smoother. And all those years of, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you not going to the basket? Why would you settle for that shot? Like, other coaches want you to take that shot. But there will come a time with a guy who works all the time, who's not afraid, who wants to be successful and wants to win, that all of a sudden he starts becoming like a 38% to 42% three-point shooter. And like all those years of air balls and stuff like that, and now he's like at this place where he probably is the best player in the NBA from the things that you've talked about. Like, he's really humble. He works hard. He keeps getting better. He cares about winning. He's a physical freak of nature. He's so big when you see him, so strong. And, you know, I wonder if we all kind of thought Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, best player in the world. But I wonder if at the end of the season, like, Kevin Durant might be like one of the highest skilled players, especially at his size. But I wonder if Giannis is going to be the most dominant player, like a combination of the dominance we've seen from LeBron in the past, from Shaquille O'Neal in the past. You know, like that's what I'm really curious about, what Giannis looks like this year with the poise that he has gained after winning a championship.
Yeah. Is Ben Simmons going to show up for this home opener?
Nah, no way. No way.
What would Philly fans throw at that man if he did that?
Give him his flowers. You got to be there to get your flowers.
What's he doing, Scott? What's he doing?
I don't know.
You got to be at least be available, right? You got to at least, if you're playing his game, what kind of advice? You got to at least make yourself available, right? So you at least you keep the money coming. I don't understand that part of it from him.
So I don't get it either. But I'm guessing he's going to say, I need a mental health day, because I don't think he can go with a sprained ankle or anything like that. And there's no way he's going to dress and warm up and play. Oh, man. This is about a guy who's, like, afraid of going to the free throw line in a playoff game. Like, he's going to show up. And Philly fans, they don't play around. Like, they don't play out there. So I am curious on what he decides to do. But this is it's a disaster situation.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say, though, I do think that the Philadelphia 76ers are going to rally around Ben Simmons, kind of hating on the teammates, hating on the city. Like, this group might end up coming out of this better on the other side, because there is a little, you know, like in 82 games and you need motivation. This could be the motivation that this team is looking for.
Yep.
Hey, Scout, man, always appreciate the visits every week, man. It's nice to have the NBA season back.
Appreciate you, man. I'll work on that trade for you guys.
Yes,
right?
sir, man. Lay the foundation, man. You know how it goes.
You got it.
All right.
He is Brian Scalabrine. He joins us every single Thursday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, truth be told, is it a long shot? Of course it's a long shot.
Us getting Tatum?
Yeah, just a little dream, you know? But you got to dream big.
I like it better than dreaming about Ben Simmons.
Yeah, man, Ben Simmons.
That seems like a waste of time.
Toxic, bro. Like, I don't want that around my locker room.
They need to, you know, Gary made a good point. They should ship him to, like, Detroit or Cleveland. Like, some crappy-ass market. Just we don't like you so much, and we have no value with you. We're just going to send you to the worst friggin' market ever.
I mean, they got to get something, right?
What do you get for him, though? Like, you get maybe a pick? You get a couple of pieces? I mean, they're not going to get viable.
That's the thing. You have to get picks if you're not going to get players. I mean, you're going to get something to match the salary, but you got to get picks.
Yeah, first rounder type.
I'm sure
stuff.
The Portland thing they'd love, but I don't know.
To Scal's point, though, Saul read the story where before they beat up on the Pelicans, they went to dinner, the 76ers all together. Mm-hmm. I do think it's going to be a rallying point.
Yeah.
You've seen Embiid come out and say, I don't care about that man anymore. Yeah. You know, the team's rallied around. They're all talking about how everybody's stepping up. You know, we're not going to be babies around here. Mm-hmm. Probably going to be a rallying point for them. No question about it. They're doing they've moved on. There's no question. The Embiid and the rest of that team. Tobias, those guys. I don't see how they he should show up, though.
Yeah.
Why not? Push it to the limit.
Don't know. It's a weird deal.
Be available. Get your money. Weird deal. Yeah, don't not show up, and then you got not getting paid, too, and you're lowering your, you know, your value as well. So at least show up. Take the booze. You acting like you want it and you're ready for it.
Yeah. We'll come back. Lots more to come here in the rundown. We're going to be joined by, of course, at 125, Brevin Knight, Mr. Keep It Real. We'll talk Grizzlies with him, get his thoughts on Ja's performance last night, the way that he was finishing, just, you know, more of the same, but improving upon that. That's kind of what you're seeing from Ja Morant this season. We'll be back. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.